Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Good morning. Good morning. Lovely to see you all. All right. Okay.
Lovely to see you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, yeah, I was encouraged whilst I was in a prayer meeting. Pastor Lim was nearly stealing the theme, talking about words like enthusiasm and talking about things like the other words you used. I think it was spiritual enthusiasm, and it can be fervent. Yeah, being fervent, passionate, things like that. So it didn't use the exact word that I'm going to use today, which is a bit of a kind of an oldie word, so old that I had to use the NIV today instead of the New Living. Okay, so we're going to be talking about zeal. Yeah. Zeal. And in the New Living Translation, it's actually called, I think, fervent passion. So Pastor Lim was kind of speaking New Living Translation speak this morning. Did you know that? Cool. Anyway, right, so zeal. What does it mean? Great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. Okay. So I thought I could do a nice four-point acrostic preach, but I couldn't get past the Z. You know, all I got was zebras. You know, zebras, they're cute little horses that God made, and they gave them pajamas, and he looked at them and he said, they're good. So, yeah, I'm not going to do an acrostic. So we're just going to get right into it. But God is a zealous God. Yeah. All right, he's enthusiastic about what he does, and he's enthusiastic about his people. Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah. All right, he's enthusiastic about his kingdom. We're going to get our first scripture up now. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. It's a familiar portion of scripture talking about the kingdom of God that was established through Jesus Christ. I'm just going to get that out of the way, if that's all right. Just in case I kick it inadvertently. All right. So, yeah, talking of Jesus, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And here's the bit. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. All right, you won't find a scripture that says, be thou laid back about the Lord. All right, and for a kind of a laid back type of guy like me, that's, you know, a little bit hard to take, but that's the way that the scriptures go, you know. Some of us, we've got different characters in this place, haven't we? Some of us are just naturally full of zeal and enthusiasm. Others are laid back and we got to bear with one another. We got to work together, all right? But God does want us to be zealous about him. Now, that can look different, but yeah, God wants there to be a zeal in our hearts for him, all right? So, let's do it. When Jesus said about saving the world from sin, he did it with a zeal. Oh, come on, let's just think about what he did, right? It cost him his place in heaven, as in he came down to earth as a baby. Isn't that amazing? It cost him his identity. See, he was a spirit. God is spirit. So, he no longer was spirit. He became flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. He became a man. He changed his identity. That's zeal. All right. He became puny flesh. Think about it. God Almighty became puny flesh. It cost him his glory. Philippians 2 tells us he took the humble position of a slave. There he was getting adoration from all the angels, from all the saints that had gone before. Actually, they weren't there yet, but anyway, that's another subject. But you know what I mean. All right. Okay, it cost him his omnipotence, which means he was all powerful, and yet he limited himself to a human being. All the miracles he did were by the power of the Spirit. Okay, it cost him his immortality. All right, he who was eternal experienced death. That's zeal. That's zeal for our salvation. It cost him his fellowship with his Father. Remember on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Billy Graham put it like this. When he became sin for us, he took it upon himself, sin that is. At that moment, he was banished from the presence of God. For sin cannot exist in his presence, in God's presence. Yeah. Think about that. Jesus and God had never, ever been separated. Yeah, at that moment, because of the zeal that he had for our salvation, he was separated from God. That is zeal. Okay, he experienced physical pain. He would have cried as a baby when he was hungry. Yeah? All right, and when Mary accidentally bumped his head, it would have hurt. I know we don't like to imagine that kind of thing. Anyway, oh, sorry, God, I've just bumped your son's head on the door there. Very sorry. Can you imagine? You would be extra careful, wouldn't you, if you was a mum of the Son of God. But, man, it would have hurt when he was circumcised. Yeah? Little baby, 8 days old. Man, that's going to hurt. There he was. He was a carpenter's son. He would have got splinters. You know, he was a man just like us. He would have known fatigue, etc. And, of course, the cross. Jesus knew what it was to experience pain, and not only pain, the sin that, you know, all of us have committed, humankind has committed, all the worst atrocities that you can imagine, all the worst sins were laid upon Jesus. And because of his zeal, he was willing to do that for you and for me, for his mercy, for the compassion of God to get to us. Jesus was zealous. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He's opened up heaven for us with his zeal. Okay, he is zealous about blessing us, even today. He's zealous about blessing us, even today. Faith is the key. Do you believe that God wants to bless you today? Good, because he does. Right, faith is the key. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 37, verse 32. This is talking about the people of Israel. At this time, they'd been surrounded by the Assyrians, and they were getting pretty beaten up. And God gave them this promise. And of course, the promises that are there for the Israelites are now for us as well, who've been grafted in to Israel. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Okay, God accomplishes things through his own zeal. And you know something? We accomplish things through our zeal as well. Okay, let's look at what zeal did for Jesus. It drove him to act. All right, we're going to look at John chapter 2, verse 14 through to 17. I'm saying 17 now instead of 17. All this zeal is getting to me. All right, so there was Jesus. He turned up in the temple there in Jerusalem. He saw the things that were going on, and he did not like it. There were people profiteering. There were people making money from the poor, etc. And it made him angry. And you won't want to do that. You don't want to make him angry. Okay. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords. That took patience, didn't it? When you're making a whip out of cords, you know, it didn't just completely fly off the handle. It did it patiently, making a whip out of cords. And he drove from the temple courts both the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. Oh, that's a bit shocking, isn't it? To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Nobody messed with him that day. They could see he was full of zeal and he meant business. None of the disciples said, chill, Jesus, it's all right, chill. That wasn't on their mind. Okay, they could see the zeal that there was in his eye. And yeah, he meant business. Zeal accomplishes things. All right. And if you've got God's Spirit inside of you, do you know what? You have zeal too. Yeah. All right. Our heroes of faith who we read about in the Bible, they had zeal. So it took zeal for Noah to build that great big ark. It took him decades. Can you imagine the zeal that he must have had to build that, even though it wasn't raining? You know, it took a lot of zeal. It took zeal for Moses to lead all those rebels, those millions of people, through the wilderness and into the promised land. It took zeal for God. It took zeal for David to take off Goliath's head in defense of the honor of his God. Yeah? And it took zeal for Nehemiah to leave his position of privilege in that Persian Empire, to go build a wall in a run-down, dusty, hot Jerusalem. Zeal to work night and day under the threats that there was coming to his life. And zeal got the job done. Now, you may not be surprised to hear, but the devil knows that zeal for God accomplishes things, and he's going to try and rob you of it. Okay. So that's no surprise, is it? Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah? So he's going to try and rob Christians of zeal. God's people of their zeal. poor old Elijah. Let's think about Elijah. All he did was execute 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Our New Testament sensibility might think, well, what's that all about? But hey, they deserved it. All right. So, it wasn't a random killing, all right? These guys were leading the nation into evil practices. And it was the judgment of God upon them. All right, can you cope with that? Yeah. Jolly good. All right, so they deserved it. And anyway, they were serving the devil. And so the devil was out to get him. And we know that the devil works through people. So there was a threat coming upon Elijah's life. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. So Elijah, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. He was in a bad way. He was in a bad way. Of course, it wasn't as bad as he thought it was. And generally, that's the case when we're feeling down, guys. All right? You may well have learned that in your life as you've gone through the Christian walk. It's not as bad as maybe you think it is at the time. All right? So God did have other people in the land, and he was doing stuff. He was leading the people of God back to himself. But the devil is going to throw all sorts of stuff at people who are zealous for God. But let me tell you, your zeal can carry you through. Yeah. All right. Zeal can cost you, but it's a price that is worth paying. All right. Zeal can rock the status quo. I'm not talking about the band, all right? Okay. it can make you a little bit unpopular sometimes. Just go with it anyway, yeah? Go with it anyway. Right. Zeal will make you pay the price for the thing that you're passionate about. It's a price that is going to be worth paying. All right. So, for instance, if you're going to be a zealous worship musician, that means you're going to pay the price in practicing and getting things up to together, getting up to speed with different songs, etc. A zealous kids worker, they're going to be somebody who prepares messages, prepares teaching, goes to things like safety meetings for kids workers and stuff like that, okay? So your zeal, even though it might take up your time, your zeal's going to be there for the thing that God has called you to do. So a zealous hospitality team, you know, they're going to realize it takes time to make a jolly good brew, et cetera, et cetera. All right, all the things that God calls us to do. He wants us to do it with zeal. Be zealous about your service. Be zealous about your worship to God. Yeah. You know, those two things are very interlinked. One of the Hebrew words for worship is be a servant. Interesting, that, isn't it? So yeah, when you're making that cup of tea, you're worshiping God. Cool that. Remember that next time. All right, okay. So here's the downside to zeal. On its own, it can cause problems. What do I mean by that? Proverbs 19:2 says, it's dangerous to have zeal without knowledge. Okay. But good old Peter, the Apostle Peter, he was a zealous kind of guy, but he was also a bit impetuous, shall we say. All right. So Jesus, he just predicted his own death at the hands of sinners. Peter takes him to one side and starts to tell him off. Jesus, what are you talking about? Nobody's going to kill you. Don't be saying those kind of things. All right, and Jesus turned around and said to him, didn't he? Get behind me, Satan. You have not in mind the things of God, but the things of man. All right, he didn't have the wisdom and he didn't have the knowledge that if Jesus didn't die, he and all of humanity were doomed forever. All right. I don't know how many of you watch some of the police shows that are on TV, things like the traffic cops. And, I like watching them, I don't know why. But anyway, sometimes, a lot of the time, there's young men who get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle. And they've done so without taking lessons. They've done so without having a license. They've done so without having insurance. And oftentimes, it ends up in crash, 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 as they say, as it comes across the television. All right, zeal without wisdom can make you come a cropper. Obviously, worse things can happen than that as well when you're driving a car super fast and you haven't got a clue what you're doing. All right, but the good news is God is full of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, so when you get those things together, zeal, wisdom, and knowledge, wow, they're fantastic, and it's an awesome weapon against the enemy. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans go wrong for the lack of advisors. Many advisors bring success. You know that one, don't you, Pastor Shane? I've heard you say that one before. All right. Okay. All people, for good or for bad, are zealous about certain things. You know, we're made in God's image. All right. So we've all got zeal inside of us, just like God has got inside of him. And that can work out for bad. It can work out for good. But let's imagine that you're a man like Winston Churchill or Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela. They used their zeal to accomplish great things, did they not? You know, they wouldn't be deterred. They just kept on going. There was something about them, the zeal inside of them for the cause that they were so burning with pushed them on and on. Sports stars even, guys like Steven Gerrard. Or David Beckham, if I should say his name. Or the Williams sisters. Zeal for their sport gets things done for them. And we think about it, the flip side of that. Much evil can be achieved with zeal. Okay? We think about guys like Hitler, Stalin, Chairman Mao. All right? Their zealous belief cost the life of absolutely millions of people. And their doctrine still lives on today. We can see how zeal in the wrong direction can cause an awful lot of evil. See, the devil, he's zealous as well, but he's zealous for evil. Yeah, we got to hit that with God, and we got to hit that with the zeal that God has put inside of us by his Spirit. Okay, how do we use zeal for good? Well, first and foremost, we've got to stick close to Jesus. Develop a close relationship with him. Through prayer, through Bible reading, through meeting together with his people, like he taught us to do. And then you know that the zeal that you got is going to be directed in the right direction. So Saul, before he became Paul, he had a bad zeal. We're going to look at it in a minute. All right, he was naturally very zealous. God saw something inside of him. He said, yeah, I can do something with this man. I can redirect that zeal for the kingdom of God. But yeah, I mean, he was fuming mad. He was a zealous kind of guy that just wanted to kill Christians. You know, he wanted to destroy the church. You would have seen Nick over there and thought, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. You ever thought that? No, let's not go there. All right. So Saul was good at destroying the church. But he didn't know who he was messing with. All right. Not until Jesus gave him a clothesline, stopped him, knocked him down to the floor, and left him blind for 3 days so he could experience how blind he'd been spiritually. I believe it was a spiritual lesson that God was trying to teach him. You've been so spiritually blind. Here's what it's like. And of course, we know that God took the scales from his eyes and he became something mighty for God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 through to 11. So this is Paul talking. He was talking about how Jewish he was. And if anyone's got a right to brag, then he's one of them. He's using it in a certain way. But anyway, here we go. For it is we who are of the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit. So he's talking about true believers. Who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Can you hear his zeal as he's talking about it? I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And I was just reading through that, and you can hear the zeal that he's got for his Jesus. Man, he has had a complete and utter life change from Jesus Christ. He got a new zeal. You can hear it. I got to know Jesus. Whatever it takes, I got to know Jesus. And that zeal that he had established churches. It took the gospel to where it had never been before. He preached to peoples who'd never had a clue about God. He was also a man who wrote 1/3 of the New Testament, mostly from prison. And his zeal helped him to endure beatings, it helped him to endure being stoned, helped him to endure all kinds of false accusations, etc. And eventually it ended up with him getting his head chopped off. Not that he was bothered, he was straight there with his Jesus, the very thing that he wanted. Okay, the zeal came with wisdom of where and how to travel, who to travel with. Who he was going to speak to, how to finance his missionary things. So he had the wisdom and he had the understanding to go with his zeal. It's very important that we get that. Okay. No matter what the devil threw at him, it didn't steal his zeal. That rhymes. Okay. Don't let the devil steal your zeal. All right. He can't do it really because God has put it inside of us. He might be able to suppress it, might be able to squash it down or try and convince you that you haven't got it, but you have. All right. He will hit you with all those dis words, you know, things like discouragement, things like disappointment, things like discontentment, things like disco music, things like distraction. I'm just testing to see whether you're still awake or not. All right, that's good. Zeal, as we've heard today already, zeal is contagious. Contagious. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2. Again, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and here's what he had to say, talking about an offering. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia, is that how you say it? It is now, was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. You know, zeal stirs people up. It's good. When you see someone that's zealous, you go, oh, yeah. You know, it's like they're on fire, isn't it? And that fire catches on to other people. So yeah, if you're a zealous kind of person, keep that fire burning, because it's going to catch alight other people as well. That's why you should never stop meeting with other believers, you know, because the fire gets us all glowing, gets us all burning together, okay? You rub up against someone who's on fire, you're going to catch fire as well, all right? And the fire is going to be even more intense. So, let me encourage you, get your bum to Faith Camp, all right? It's going to be a place where you can hear people who are full of zeal for God, yeah? Do pray for Faith Camp, won't you? Pray for the kids, that they won't get distracted. Pray for my kids, they won't get distracted. Pray for everybody's kids, you know, that they're going to just engage with God, and they're going to be able to catch fire, catch some of the zeal that there's going to be around that place. You know, that's why it's good to go to things like that, things like conferences, where you can get your faith fired up by God and by men and women who are burning and are on fire for God. Okay? Good. Right. Bottom line, we are responsible for our own zeal. Yeah? We're responsible for our own zeal. I'm going to read something now. This is interesting. Let's read Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17. This is a familiar verse to intercessors and the like. Right, this is God speaking, or God talking about God. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness at his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. That's awesome, that, isn't it? Zeal as a cloak. All right, so the cloak represents anointing, like it was with Elijah and Elisha. Do you remember that story? He went around and he put his cloak upon Elisha. It was like a representation of the anointing that he had that was going to pass on to Elisha. And if you're familiar with the story, Elisha got his double portion of Elijah's spirit, or, if you like, anointing. And he used that cloak straight away, didn't he? Slapped it on the Jordan River, and it parted, and he was able to cross over under the power of the anointing that Elijah had given, that came from God, of course. Okay, so you can clothe yourself with zeal. You can clothe yourself with zeal for the thing that God has anointed you to do. What is it that God has anointed you to do? Yeah, be zealous about it. Okay, no guarantees that it's going to be easy, but the zeal can carry you through. Okay, when others would fall by the wayside. Preaching to myself here as well. Okay, all right. you can go through times, even as a leader, when you feel kind of disengaged, when you feel, oh man, I'm not sure I can be bothered. It's not a shocking thing to say. But, you know, the enemy comes against you. You get all these different things coming against you. The weariness comes against you. And you feel like you can't get no satisfaction. I better just say that just for the tape. All right. You can't get no satisfaction or whatever. And you get times like that. That's when you need an injection of the zeal of God to keep you going, to give you a boost, to fire you up once again. Okay, and you find that in God's presence. You find that in God's word. You find that when you're under the anointing of God's people. Don't quit. Like men, be strong, somebody once said. All right. You know, I was realizing as I was preparing this message that I'd done something daft. You know, I used to be in the habit of praying each morning for at least 10 minutes, just speaking in tongues. Literally, that's all I was doing. And I figured that, like a numpty, I've forgotten to do that. You know, what have I done? You know, well, why aren't I still doing that as part of my spiritual discipline? And it's probably distractions from certain electrical devices that the devil put in the way, like, you know, an iPad. There is a All right, it wasn't the devil, it was just me. All right, yeah. It was, I just want to check out the weather. What's the weather going to be today? You know, let's just check and see whether Liverpool have bought anyone for the up-and-coming season or whatever. You know, these things can come as distractions. It's so easy, you know. That's why Jesus said, go into your room, shut the door and pray to your Father in heaven. Leave your iPad outside. That's the new expanded version, that is. All right, leave your iPad outside. Leave your iPhone or whatever device you've got. Leave it there and talk to your heavenly Father. I realize some of you are knowing what I'm talking about. Okay, it's ever so easy to get distracted from what you should be doing. So I did something yesterday. I set my iPad, 10-minute timer. That's it. Start the timer, Siri. Other devices are available. And set the timer, spoke in tongues for 10 minutes, had to kind of like discipline myself to do it. And as we know, it says in the Bible, it does you good. It does you good. The devil would love to steal your time with God if you will let him. And if he does, he's going to steal your zeal at the same time. Okay. Right, so that's what I've decided I'm going to do now. You know, I'm going to get that time back where I'm going to just speak in tongues so I can build myself up. If you don't do that already, I don't know how many of you do that, how many of you don't that. So I'm going to plead with you. Do it. Speak in tongues, yeah? You know, get that time where you could just set aside in the morning. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 2 hours. Depends how zealous you are about it, whatever. How much time you've got. Yeah. Maybe you think, I can't handle that at the moment. Maybe I'll start with 5 minutes. Do that. Or maybe I'll start with 2 minutes and then build it up. Yeah. So that you can get that time where you are just communing spirit to spirit with God. And I guarantee that you will benefit. Yeah. How can I say I can guarantee? Because it says so in the Word of God. It's a promise. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and verse 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Okay, so sometimes when you don't know what to pray, speak in tongues and God's Spirit will give you the prayers that you need. And you will feel the benefit of it. Okay, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Okay, so you build yourself up when you speak in tongues to God. All right, so think to yourself, if you've lost your zeal, is there anything that you've changed? Just like I kind of figured out, you know, I haven't been speaking in tongues like I used to. You know, is there anything that you've changed? You know, if your zeal is on the wane. Anything you've changed that you need to put right so you can get that zeal back for God. Now, I'm going to end up with one more scripture from Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through to 13. I'm going to end with this because I love it. It was really good. So, here's some commands to us as believers. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. I'm going to say that again. Never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep yourself, keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Amen. Amen. Over to you, Pastor Shane. Thank you.